The Veritas Radio Network is guaranteed the right to offend, annoy, agitate, shout heresy, and entertain.
You should start programming right now.
Kind of like the cultural sewage served up on Bravo or CMT, only it's on 24 hours a day, except Sundays. When the truth gets you angry and you throw your smartphone, remember, no one is forcing you to listen to the truth on the Veritas Radio Network.
You can't handle the truth!
You're doing that of your own free will. That's what makes this country great, and any gay marriage pointless.
That's offensive.
So there isn't much you can do about it, Chowderhead.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Grab a book, take a vow, and conform your mind to reality. Otherwise, you're just another Judas-inspired Karl Marx wannabe.
And your children will steal your credit card number to buy tickets to the Miley Cyrus Twerker's Ball.
I came in like a wrecking ball.
Are you ready? Let's get it on. On the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
They say money is the root of all evil. But on the True Money Show, you'll learn that the Federal Reserve is the root of all evil money. The True Money Show with David Simpson, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade Channel.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Now, how many of us actually owe our souls to the company store? And why? Is that, that's a bad thing, right? If you owe your soul to someone other than the one who created it? You know, I'm afraid that is the reality for too many of us. Hello, everyone. I am David Simpson. Welcome to the True Money Show, coming to you live from the Veritas Radio Network, the Bulldog Kia studio of the Veritas Radio Network. It's easy to be on the show. I have a telephone number for you, 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. You can also email me. By the way, remnant1969, I got your email. And I'm going to respond by email because you have a very interesting and involved story that I don't think I'd be able to deal with appropriately on the air. So I'm going to email you, and thank you for writing. And also the person who wrote in asking me about my opinion on two different candidates on the third-party slate, I will respond to that by email as well. So, guys, thanks for emailing. If you want to email me during the show, I will definitely try to get to it. David at TFFCO.com. That's David at Tom Frank Frank Charles Oscar.com. Please email me if you'd like to get a message to me. And I have a really exciting guest today that I'm just so looking forward to talking to. And we're going to be in one of these philosophical modes. And so maybe I may not have time to get to the calls or the emails, but I will certainly try. So let me talk about, you know, the purpose of the True Money Show. I come to you this Wednesday and every Wednesday at noon. My show, by the way, we made a big, if you didn't hear the news conference, the press release that Mike Church is doing about the changes that are coming to the network, just next month or our anniversary, my show, will be expanding, whether I want it to or not. Mike says I'm going 2 hours a day. Right now, I'm doing 1 hour live a week. I'm probably going to be doing two at least live a week, every week, and then maybe adding a day as well. And that's good. I mean, people have asked for longer shows, and I'm going to try to deliver as much as I can to get everyone satisfied with understanding the nature of the serious, serious problem we have in the financial world around us. So what is the purpose of the True Money Show? I say this most weeks, and I want to say it today because I want to focus in on one of them. The purpose of the True Money Show is to explain and expose the pernicious monetary system that we all live under. There's no getting out of it just yet, guys, There's no magic wand to wave that says, okay, I'm not part of this system. You are part of it. And because you are, there are certain things you ought to do to help ameliorate the negative consequences of that thing. That's actually the third goal. The second goal is advocating for a just and sound monetary system to replace the evil one we live under. And that's what my guest and I are going to talk about a little bit today. We're going to talk about a thinker, G.K. Chesterton, who proposed an alternative solution. And I want to delve into that a little bit more. We've talked about it before on the show. I do not consider myself a distributist as yet. I am just looking for answers to the evil system we have. And so I think distributism is a fine place to start looking. And then the third goal is, of course, to counsel my listeners and my clients on how to defend their savings and their wealth until we do replace our evil monetary system. Well, those are some high and lofty goals. I like to set those kind of goals for myself because if we don't try to work on them, how will we ever fix them? And so, there's no sense in shooting low. Let's shoot for the top and see if we can actually make a difference. So we're going to focus today on that second goal, the advocating of a just and sound monetary system to replace the one we have. Now, I know this is dangerous waters because there are a lot of people who don't think anything's wrong with our system. Matter of fact, I would call them fiercely capitalistic, and they think that that's a great word. And I don't I think one of the problems we have is our language is corrupted and corroding and it's falling apart. I'm not anti-capitalist. I mean, every business requires labor and capital and work and, salaries and so on. No one's disputing that capital is involved in the business enterprise. The question is, how is it maintained? Who gets to control it? Should it be controlled and all these other issues? Well, I think we actually have an aberrant capitalism in America. I think that's the problem. I don't want to say capitalism per se is the problem. I think it's an aberrant form. Corporatism might be a better word for it. And so the question is, what do we do about that? Or do we continue to live the way we live? So my guest today, and I'm really excited about having him on, is Mr. Dale Ahlquist. He's the president of the American Chesterton Society. He's a renowned G.K. Chesterton scholar and speaker. He's also the host of a show called The Apostle of Common Sense that comes on EWTN. He's the author of numerous books on G.K. Chesterton and is also a regular columnist for The Catholic Servant. His articles have also appeared in Chronicles, Crisis, Catholic Rural Life, St. Austin's Review, Faith and Reason, and Envoy. And finally, if that's not enough, Dale is the co-founder of the Chesterton Academy, a high school based in Minnesota that's rated one of the top 50 Catholic high schools in the United States. So I think I found the right guy to talk about Chesterton and distributism. So Dale, welcome to the show. Dale, you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you. I'm sorry. You know, it's human error over here. I'm still a neophyte in this business, and I have to know what buttons to hit sometimes, and sometimes I don't do them right. Sorry about that, Dale. How are you?
I'm doing well. God bless you. I'm doing just great. Thank you.
Well, by the way, I'm going to read something you wrote in just a second to kind of set the stage for this, but I do want to jab at you just a little bit here. I understand that you and Joseph Pierce came to Ponchatoula, Louisiana. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, so me and Mike Church are both furious that we didn't get wind of this event before it happened because we both would have gone.
That's terrible. Let me give you the heads up. We're going to be there again the second weekend of March in 2017. There's going to be another one-day Chesterton conference, and Joseph and I will both be there.
Second weekend in March 2017 in Ponchatoula, I guess at the little G.K. Chesterton Square there, is that right?
Yeah, there's the Chesterton Square, the only life-size statue of G.K. Chesterton in the world stands in Ponchatoula, Louisiana.
Well, that's really cool. I'm looking forward to it. So you probably met my brother who was there. He was a very enormous human being wearing a kilt. Robert.
Okay. Yes, I did meet him, and amazingly, there were two other gentlemen wearing kilts at the same conference.
Okay, so you see, we really take it serious down here in Louisiana. And so when you come back, you're going to meet two more maniacs called Mike Church and David Simpson, and maybe we'll just round out the unit there, and we'll take over something. I don't know. We're going to... All right, so let me read this little thing about consumerism that you wrote, and it's this. By the way, this is on the American Chesterton Society's website. What is the? Let me do that first. What is the web address for the Chesterton Society?
Yeah, it's chesterton.org.
Okay. Everyone keep repeating that so I don't forget. I'll say it again, though. Chesterton.org. You can get a lot of Dale's writings, and here's one of them. Part of the idea of what people refer to as the American way of life is wrapped up in the whole notion of our standard of living. The, quote, living standard is a measure of consumer spending. It is concerned with how many things we can buy, how expensively we are able to live, what luxuries we might afford. For many, perhaps most, Americans, the purpose of work is to earn a wage or salary in order to support the level of consuming that we believe is right for us and will make us happy. Americans will say they reject these materialistic ideals, yet they might find it difficult to explain how their vision of work and leisure differs from the, quote, getting and spending syndrome that plagues our society. Chesterton's writings offer a ready cure for this disease. He will remind us that work is, or should be, a vocation, and that it is really more fun to produce than to consume. He will remind us that the end purpose of work is a product, not a wage, and that all the exchanges in which people exploit one another, both socially and financially, are also opportunities for people to dignify one another. Chesterton lamented that, quote, the spotlight of social importance, close quote, had passed from workmanship to salesmanship and from thrift to indebtedness. He regretted the tricks of every trade. He regretted that tricks of every trade are tricks of selling rather than the tricks of making them. He knew the getting and spending lifestyle is no road to any kind of happiness. Chesterton called his alternative distributism, and those who dismiss it as impractical have nothing to offer us but materialistic dreams of avarice and clutter. Dale, first of all, what is distributism? And I agree with your assessment. I don't know that I found the answer. So what is distributism? Is it an answer for our woes?
Okay, great. I'd be happy to explain it. So we have the two systems that everybody constantly refers to, which is capitalism and then socialism/communism. And capitalism was originally called individualism, which is why socialism is called socialism. It was a reaction against individualism.
I see.
And capitalism was basically focused on the interest of the individual. Socialism, the reaction against it, was focusing on the interest of the community. Distributism is neither of those, because the basic unit that it represents is the family. It says the family is the basic unit of society, and if we emphasize individual rights over the rights of the family, it'll undermine the family. If we emphasize community rights over the family, it'll undermine the family.
Uh-huh.
So the family should be independent. It should be a self-sustaining unit, and it should not be dependent on a big corporation to take care of it, or the state to take care of it. If it depends on wage slavery, Chesterton argues basically it's slavery. It's just a different form of slavery. He even argues that a slave has more rights than a wage slave, because slaves have to be taken care of when they're sick, when they can't work anymore, whereas the wage slave is just let go as soon as he's not useful.
Boy, isn't that true.
Yeah, so the alternative, Chesterton says, to employment is not unemployment. The alternative is independence. So if more people owned their own business, had their own means of production, had an independence, they would be more autonomous, they would be free, and they could look after their families, which is what the most natural thing in the world is to do, is to look after one's family.
844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723 is how you can call in. I'm David Simpson, speaking with Mr. Dale Alquist, the president of the American Chesterton Society. So, Dale, I regularly, when I have these discussions, distributism, I would say I'm distributist-leaning, but I'm not sure if I can quite get my mind around all the practicalities that might be necessary to make it a reality. I always get the capitalistic response, you're a socialist, you're a commie,
which is just so ironic that that's the reaction to anything that criticizes capitalism. Well, it must be communist because that's the only alternative anyone can think of, and that's the false dichotomy. Chesterton says that essentially communism and capitalism per se end the same way, with no one owning anything and all the property, all the capital being controlled by a very few. People lose their ownership. But the point about socialism is that it certainly does not celebrate ownership. It does not hold ownership up as an ideal, but distributism does.
Right.
And the idea of ownership is that you have independence with ownership. But ownership does not mean owning everything. It means owning enough.
Well, you know, my answer to these people these days, and you can tell me if I'm wrong because I might be misinterpreting Chesterton. But I wrote in a blog piece, the title of the blog was A Simple Recipe for Wealth and Freedom, and I was commenting on Chesterton's essay, The Servile State Again. And this is what I wrote. And tell me if I'm off here, because I really want to know exactly where Chesterton stood on the capitalist socialist paradigm. I said it would be too great a diversion to try and define exactly what Chesterton means by, quote, capitalism. And in this land that considers itself fiercely capitalistic, it may be off-putting that he is condemning it. Suffice it to say that he is not opposed to free enterprise. In fact, Chesterton would say that the capitalist is. Rather, he sees a similar danger in the aggregation of wealth as in the aggregation of state power. If you understand that notion, then you understand Chesterton's capitalist. Am I on to something there?
Oh, you've nailed it exactly. That's it right there. Of course, he promotes free enterprise and entrepreneurship. That is exactly the idea, but it was John D. Rockefeller who said competition is a sin. You know,
yeah.
The way capitalism ends, it ends like a game of Monopoly. One person owns everything,
and we train our kids to play that game.
Yeah, we absolutely, but we also train our kids that go out and get a job and work for someone else. That's what we always train them to, is the idea that, that wage slavery is a normal thing. We don't train our kids that, this is what our family does. This is our vocation. You can be part of this or start your own vocation, start your own thing. Do we train people to create independent forms of income?
Right.
No, we don't.
You know, it's funny, not funny, I guess it's a sad irony. In my financial planning business, one of the things I recommend, I have four boxes where I tell people to store their wealth, and one of those boxes is in a privately owned local business that they either own themselves or that they've contributed to someone else owning, and they get some kind of benefit from profit sharing of some sort. And that box never gets filled by any of my clients. I mean, very rarely, unless they may have come to me with their own business, and that's the only time. But it rarely ever gets filled because so few of us, we've been so mind-numbed, and we're just not creative anymore to say, I want to start something of my own and exercise my own abilities and my own creativity and my own ability to build or produce. And so it just sits there as an empty box staring those people in the face going, well, David, how do I fix this problem? And I don't know the answer myself.
Well, it does take courage to do things on our own. We decided to start a school of our own, right?
Right.
Because we thought that there was some serious problems with education. So you can sit around and complain about education, or you can go out and start a school. And that's how we solved a big problem. And we've had great results as a result of taking control of that particular aspect of our lives.
Okay, so let's say that distributism is an attempt to decentralize wealth. Would that be an accurate description?
Well, I think that is not an accurate description because it might get limited to something like that.
Okay,
But it's certainly an attempt to decentralize ownership. That ownership should be distributed. That's what Chesterton's idea is, that because justice, it comes from a term in Pope Leo XIII's encyclical from 1891, Rerum Novarum, where he recognizes the problems of industrial capitalism, which he says has created for the worker a situation really no better than slavery. And he says, the Pope says, that the wrong reaction to this situation is socialism. So he already identifies in that encyclical in late 1890s that industrial capitalism has created a societal blot and has damaged a great number of people who have just become slaves. And that there's a natural but wrong reaction, which is to, well, seize ownership from the factory owner and give it to the people, quote unquote, right? Socialism.
Okay.
He says the right solution is that more workers should become owners. That they deserve to enjoy the wealth that they are creating, but all that wealth is going, you know, to the factory owner instead.
Yeah.
And so the idea is that ownership is something like justice that should be distributive. Now, and that's different from distributed,
yeah,
but distributive, that it's something everyone is entitled to. And, you know, the Ten Commandments includes one called Thou Shalt Not Steal,
yeah,
which implies that ownership is the norm.
Absolutely.
And ownership is a good thing.
Yes.
Just like Thou Shalt Not Commit Adultery implies that marriage is a good thing.
Yeah.
And so ownership is a normal thing, and we've lost that idea. We think that it's normal to be working and laboring for someone else
now,
rather
Dale,
than for ourselves.
Is, I don't want to oversimplify it, but was that strictly a result of industrialization and so on? Because if I had to guess, I would say that the agrarian ideal and the idea that each person had their acreage and was to some degree self-sufficient, I think they gave up on that because it was hard. I don't think it was because there just happened to be an industrialist hanging around who says, "Hey, I'll pay you a wage." It was, I think, it was almost like, "Well, I get to escape the labor." Am I off there, or do you think there's something to that as well?
Well, I think we have a very much a modern mentality that if we can avoid work, we will.
Yes.
You know, and men are naturally lazy, as every wife will, you know, inform you. And so, you know, yeah, but Chesterton says, you know what the hardest work is? Thinking. No one wants to do that either. They just, everyone wants someone else to do their work for them, to do the hard work for them, including thinking. But we have created this age of specialization, and so it's come to the point, Chesterton says, where we pay someone else to entertain us. We pay someone else to fight for us. We pay someone else to rule us, and we pay someone else to think for us.
Boy, is that ever true! And now that we're paying out the nose, it's quite painful, isn't it?
It is kind of painful, and you think, well, maybe if I just did a few more things for myself, that would be better, and I'd actually be more free and less dependent on all these other things.
Well, you know, I had, and this, I'm harkening back to a conversation I had with John Sharp about this issue as well. It almost seems that the rub against distributism is not the idea, but rather that I've got to take responsibility again and be moral.
yeah, that is kind of a pain.
So you concur, is that it?
Yeah. It's true. People don't like, well, you mean I have to do something?
What was Mike Church, matter of fact, before we did a little episode, a little press release, and we were talking afterwards, and he said, one of Chesterton's most famous quotes, Christianity was not found wanting and left untried, but found hard and left... Oh, no, I'm sorry, was not found wanting.
Well, it wasn't found tried and found wanting. It was found difficult and left untried.
Right. Hey, this is hard. Oh, let me get somebody else to do it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it really is troublesome. Because I do find, again, getting back to practical realities and dealing with financial people and dealing with my clients in financial planning... they want to escape the difficulty they're in, but they, one, either don't know how, or when they see the how, it sounds hard, David. Why do I have to do that? What would you say to my clients? Give me a Dale Alquist to lay on them.
Well, you say to your client, well, you know, one of Chester's great lines, too, is he says, you know, it's cheap to own a slave. But he says it's cheaper to be a slave.
Wow.
We do have, you know, those are the two options that are given to us. We can be a slave and give all of our energy to someone else who will just then take care of us because I just want to be taken care of. And that's what the wage slave mentality has created, is the idea that, well, workers just have rights and they need to be taken care of, pay my health insurance, pay my retirement, and just take care of me.
Yeah.
Or we can actually take care of ourselves, which means we have the freedom to do what we really want to do and not be told what to do.
844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. If you'd like to talk to Mr. Alquist, please give us a call. You can reach me also, david@tffco.com. I'm going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and continue our discussion about distributism. You're listening to The True Money Show on the Crusade Channel of Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be.
Tell you.